ABC Radio Australia.
We can report vote counting is now complete, with caretaker Prime Minister PM Menassis Sogavare's Our Party claiming 15 MPs. So let's head to the capital, Honiara, to try and make sense of the results so far. We're joined this morning by a longtime journalist, Dorothy Wickham. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning, Gav.
So what's the atmosphere like in Honiara with the vote count now complete for all 50 constituencies?
I think you've got maybe a lot of people happy with the changes that have taken place in their constituencies, and some not so happy. But there's also other people who are happy with those who have come back in as their members of parliament. So there's a mixed feeling, as you can see from the numbers, that there's no real big gaps between the two major sides in this whole upcoming battle to form government.
No, you're right there. Our party, 15 MPs, but obviously a long way off that 26 MPs needed to form government. Were there any surprises on the final day of voting?
Yes, there were quite a few surprises. I think we didn't expect some of the ones who did overthrow the outgoing to take the places that they did, but they've managed. And I think there's a real sense of wanting change, I think, amongst a lot of people. Mm. However, there's also another group of people who want it as it is. So we'll have to see as we go along and see whether the independent group, who now have the power to influence which side takes the government, how they decide, because inside this independent group, there's also a lot of newcomers as well.
Yeah, so it looks like the independents will very much be the kingmakers of this election, and we'll talk about them in a little while. It looks like no one party has the majority, so how are groups going to go about getting the 26 MPs needed to form government?
Well, lobbying, I think, started well before elections started. Lobbying amongst candidates, the political parties that were putting up candidates over the last week, and even until yesterday, there were already certain MPs being seen at certain camps that didn't belong there before. So I think that there's already some movement, and we'll know that when this number, I think it's the 1st of May when nominations open for the prime ministership. That's when we'll start to see the numbers fall. But, you know, with the elections for the prime minister, it's secret ballot. It can just swing anywhere at the last minute.
Just talking about Sogavare's Our Party again, they went into the election with almost 30 MPs. Now it only has 15. That being said, they still have the largest representation. Does that mean they have the biggest chance at forming government?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you're looking at their numbers and the CARE numbers, and then you're looking at the independent group or the other little numbers that pop up under the other parties, there is a possibility. If they're able to convince some of these newcomers to join them, then they might swing it their way.
So let's talk about some of the newcomers. Obviously, CARE Coalition has 13 MPs. United Party has 7 with those 15 independents. How much influence are they going to get to have with producing this coalition?
I think they'll have a lot. And also the fact that they're very young. And so it will depend, too, on what their electorate was saying to them during their campaign and the feedback that they've got from their own people, as to are they happy with our party coming back in power or not. That, I think, will decide which sides they actually sit themselves in the end.
Yes, well, you mentioned there might have been a bit of negotiating before the election. What kind of values do you think the coalition is going to be based on? Do you think it'll be like similar policies and manifesto? Could it be ideology, personalities, provincialism?
I think a lot of it's going to be based now on what other issues that have been raised over the last 4 or 5 years now. The complaints by some analysts about important issues to them, which is education, health, infrastructure, of course, and really, really important is employment for our young people. You know, our population is quite high for young people, about, I think, 76% between 15 and 35. These are the people these new MPs will really have to think about, because you can tell from the voting that a lot of the young ones swung the votes in a lot of areas because they wanted certain things out of this election.
Yes, no, you definitely have a point there, that's for sure. Who are Sogavare's main rivals to forming government at the moment in terms of who could potentially become the Prime Minister?
Ooh, that's a hard question to answer at the moment. As you know from Solomon Island politics, it's hard to tell. So I think at this point, in terms of numbers, it's of course Matthew Wale's group, which is CARE. But then there's also some players in the other group that may be able to convince certain people to move. And as I had alluded to earlier, I said there have been some faces being seen in different lobbying camps that had never been there before, and they've gone to negotiate. So it's going to be, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
Is there like an alternative scenario where the CARE Coalition, United Party and Gordon Darcy Lilo and others work together to form their own government?
You know, there's a lot of outstanding issues from before between these parties that need to be resolved if they wanted to work together. And as you know, before they were part of a group and then they all split up and went their own ways and stood on certain principles that some of them might not be able to negotiate or even want to compromise. So I think that's where the difficulty will be. But if they really wanted change and if they really wanted to remove our party, then they'll have to work together.
You're listening to Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia. I'm Kyle Evans and I'm chatting with longtime journalist Dorothy Wickham about the Solomon Islands election vote count, which has just wrapped up. Now, we spoke about the independent MPs a little bit earlier and how they're very much going to be the kingmakers in this election. Does that make things more politically unpredictable or potentially unstable going forward, or could that be a good thing?
Yeah, I think it does cause, you know, a bit of anxiety as to which way this group will go, especially for those who do not want the outgoing government to regain power. But for those who do support the outgoing party, which is our party, they would think this is a good thing because it gives them room to maneuver based on the independents' numbers.
As for the independents that got elected, do they sort of mainly align politically, or do they vary in terms of where their values lie?
They vary a lot. I think some of them sometimes choose to be independent because they're not really sure whether they really want to align themselves to certain party policies until they show that they've got the seat. And I think this is what's happened this time around.
So it still does sound like there's a lot of things still up in the air politically. Is there anything that we do know for certain? You know, like how likely is it that the country is going to have a new prime minister, for instance?
That's not even certain. We need to wait and see now. As you said, it's really fluid and we really need to... things, I think, have to really fall over the next few days. As you know, the caretaker prime minister, Mr. Sogavare, just arrived back in Honiara yesterday, and all the other newly elected MPs will be making their way into Honiara over the next few days to start the lobbying that will form government. So it's fluid.
And just lastly, Dorothy, because we are running out of time, what's been the biggest surprise for you this election? Like, have the results deviated from a direction that you thought they might go?
Yeah, I was really surprised with the election of Mr. Sade, the former Premier of Kodaikanal, running against Bodo Detke. I think that's Northwest Kodaikanal. That was a surprise for me, because I always thought that Bodo had a very strong following in his constituency. However, Sade has proved otherwise.